Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. David is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of financial experience. And because he actually provides advice to clients on a daily basis, our hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory Services and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. Commentary given during this radio program is usually pretty smart, but should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities should not be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual's situation. Only if you hire David and his firm to help you, and only available where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Here he is, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So I have something very special and different for you. We have, and this is for our, especially for our listeners who listen on the internet, on mobile devices around the country, we have in our own backyard here in the East Central Florida area, we have our own private college, Stetson University. And there is a very special program going on there. They have what you would call a student-managed or student-directed investment program. And the name of the program is the Roland George. Well, let me back up, and let me introduce our professor who is joining us, who is in charge of the program. He is chair of Roland George Chair of Applied Investments, K.C. Ma. K.C. Ma. Dr. Ma, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. I appreciate the opportunity to be on your show.
Well, and I am flattered that you agreed to be on because I know that you're very busy. And the name, let me get the exact name of the program. It's the Roland George Investment Program. Is that
correct?
It? Okay.
Correct.
And so let's give a brief background about this. This was created with an endowment?
Yes. Let me give you my standardized pitch of our program.
Okay, good. That's what we want to hear.
We are the one of the oldest programs in the country, actually trust students and with real money for investment. And you can vision this as like a call in regular investment club, except investment club is your money, but in this case, the program's money is university endowment. And about early 1980s, a family called Roland George family, they gave university $500,000. And which is earmarked for student investing. Now, you realize that was a very novel idea back then. Back then, there was no PC, no internet, no nothing.
True.
And this lady, Sarah George, is a husband. Her husband is Roland George. And the idea came from, it's very interesting, the idea came from the fact that Roland George was a lifetime engineer, retired at 65, and actually he made most of his fortune after he retired and investing in the stock market.
How about that?
So for years and years and years, he always complained to his wife, saying, you know what, I wish I know how to invest when I was 12 years old. Then I can retire when I'm 15. You know, so that when he passed, his wife remembered that, saying, you know what, maybe I should fulfill his dream by gave the opportunity of young people to invest in the stock and bond market directly.
This has been successful because $3.3 million?
Yeah, it's over $3.3 million.
Wow.
And the program is about over 30 years old. And students, it's a senior level finance student or business student taking two courses from the program. And their job is managing half of them in stock portfolio, half of them in bond portfolio. So million and a half each.
Wow.
And they have, they make, our uniqueness, our reputation came from the fact that we totally trust our student making all the decisions. My job as the director and the chair, and the professor is, to make sure they follow rules and regulation and laws.
So you're not vetoing what they're doing. You're just making sure they're following the rules.
Exactly.
Wow.
We are the beauty of the model is totally student directed fund, and I'm more like a chaperone, put it
this way.
And I want to tell you the effectiveness of our model. I can't tell you anything you want to hear, except that the bottom line is this: success of the program is measured by the market. So for example, we were the second oldest in the country to have this kind of program. And for the last 12, 13 years, finally there were about 400 universities in the country have program like that, which means have this real money for student investing. And they copy a lot from us. But anyway, once we have that many university in competition, once a year they will meet and they will decide who is the best program. The way they compete is obviously based on the most objective standard, who makes the most money.
That'll
so once
it.
A year, we will bring our bank statement account, you know, and David, you will know that feeling, right? You have to send your account statement to your client, and we bring the account statement to the client, to the competition, and for the last 12, 13 years, when they start competing among university for the annual performance, we have received 14 champions.
Wow.
For the last 12 years, and we have only 3 second places. Every year, either we're number one, number two. Now, this is measured by the actual performances.
Wow.
And they audit by the accounting firm. So I think that speaks volume just for the approach we're taking in terms of trust the students.
And, that's rather remarkable, Dr. Ma.
Thank you. My favorite joke is every time we have a family come to visit, and I always test them. I say, our motto is, we trust your kids more than you trust your kids. And then I was asking the family, say, well, would you give $3 million to your kids? And I haven't had a single taker yet.
Oh, that's funny. Well, let's do this, Dr. Ma. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. And I want to know what your kids think about the markets
Sure.
and
Fantastic.
What's happening with the economy and maybe what we need to be doing with our money. Stay right there.
Oh, sure.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back. Dr. K.C. Ma is my guest. K.C. Ma received his MBA and PhD in finance from University of Illinois, and he has the distinguished opportunity to be the chair of the Roland George Investment Program at Stetson University. And before the break, we talked a little bit about what the program's all about. They took $500,000 in 1982 and turned it into about $3.3 million today, and they have won. In the successive students over the years, they have won, did I hear, 12 out of 14 championships. Pretty impressive stuff, Dr. Ma.
Thank you.
So let's tap in on these really well-disciplined and well-investing students and give my listeners, Dr. Ma, a little bit of insight into what the thoughts are, what's the consensus, what is your team of student wonders, what are they thinking right now with interest rates and the yield on 10-year treasuries easing up, the tapering potential, the debt, all of this stuff that we see, as well as positive numbers with positive job numbers and positive manufacturing and the real estate market. How is, you take all that in, what do they think?
That's a good question that I wish I know the correct answer for that, then I probably won't talk to you, David, today. But our procedure is the student will, beginning of every class, they will do enough research about the economy as well as financial markets, and they have looked into the future, trying to make some assessment for the next 12 to 18 months.
Okay, so it's a short-term outlook.
It is short-term outlook.
Okay.
You see, our purpose is to win the war every year.
Okay.
So they look at your... So we're kind of, you know, a product of our goal here. But anyway, so the last assessment they make was in the early fall, and so they're thinking about for the coming year. Of course, they receive the same information of everybody else, and they have different readings. The class decides that the debt ceiling and government shutdown were not an issue. Of course, more of a politics, but they do worry about this QE3 going to be off tapering. It's going to happen someday soon.
And that concerns them.
That did, yeah, concern everybody. And we discussed this quite extensive in the class. Well, on the positive side, the economy does seem to recover from many, many aspects. And on the other hand, they also understand there's another shoe to drop, which is this QE3, the tapering. And the market looked like half anticipated part of it. Even just yesterday, you know, they the same story come back and forth, you know, it's back in everybody's mind. So when they got excited for a couple of days, they always think draw back for the same issue. But the idea is my student invests in both in stocks and bonds. So the QE3 is very important to the bond portfolio.
Absolutely.
And you're probably very familiar with this year, most of the bond portfolio is under the water because, you know, beginning of the year.
Sure.
Then we all worry about this already. And so a year ago, at the same time, my student, when they construct their bond portfolio, and they already anticipated this, so they were still, you know, they were doing much, much better than everybody else.
Shortening up mostly?
No, they. You're right. It's what they did was for the bond portfolio, and they were at the short end.
Right.
But they're on a higher coupon one.
Right, okay.
And so they end up, I was looking before I came in to discuss with you, you know, their year-to-date return is about 6%.
Very respectable.
Positive 6%. And when the treasury is down, treasury 10 years down, 6%. So they have about 10-12% spread over the treasury benchmark. And the reason is they made a conscious decision back then that they know interest rate going to come up and matter of timing, but the economy is recovering. So they'd rather take the risk, corporate risk, the default risk.
Right.
And they will minimize the interest rate risk. So that's why they picked the lower duration bond, the shorter duration, but higher coupon bond, which is the lower rating,
right?
You know, not investment grade bond. So,
but from a timing standpoint of doing this, it's better. Their thinking was better to be early than late on it.
Well, they did this decision, you know, beginning of the year, of course.
Okay.
Well, yeah. So that's why the 6% rate of return year to date return I was telling you is what they decided there. But I still think it may be a good decision now because, as I say, investors, at least in the bond market, they look in different kind of risk. They all have risk, you know, interest rate risk, credit risk, and the sector risk, all these things are always there. But there are times one is more important than the other. We know the interest rate risk is already in our face. And already market, we already take a beating on that. And
yeah.
But, the problem is the politics drag these things longer and longer. But one good news is the credit risk is not as bad as because the economy is recovering, so the credit risk is not there yet. I cannot say not there yet. It's not as severe. So if they have to take risk, because you understand, you have to take risk, some risk, to make returns.
Right.
So with such a low rate environment, so they made a conscious decision to do that. And I think they probably would do the same thing for the next year because they know, so they're going to stay on the short end side, and they probably wouldn't take on a little bit more credit risk.
That makes sense.
Yes. And because I know a lot of people would take short end only because they anticipate interest rate going to go up. Now you know the short end, you know, if it's in the 2-3 years, you're getting, 1% a year?
Right.
Right. So you do have to complement that with the higher coupon, which is a lower rated bond.
So and, you got to pick your poison, don't you?
Exactly. And, there's a different story then. Back in 2008, if we have the same conversation, then you have a totally opposite story, right? Then, you know, interest rate going to interest going to stay lower. The government going to give you negative interest rates, and then the credit risk going to shoot through the roof. So
absolutely.
We have totally opposite statement then. That's for the bond market. And the stock market.
Well, let's do this, Dr. Ma. Let's grab a quick break, and we'll come back and talk about the stock market. Casey Ma, PhD, CFA, Chartered Financial Analyst, Stetson University, Roland George Investment Program. He's the chair over there. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Dr. Ma.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams.
These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Casey Ma has been on the line with me talking about the Roland George Investment Program at Stetson University, private college, East Central Florida in DeLand. And we talked before the break about the fixed income strategies that the program has been deploying, a student-directed program. And we're going to now get into a little bit about the equity side of the equation. Let's go to that, Dr. Ma.
Sure. It's consistent with what their economic analysis, they think we still going to experience the increasing growth.
Yes.
And as the economy, and interest rate always be a problem, but that's something, like you nicely you put it, you know, there is always, you know, you have to choose your poison.
Right.
And the class as a group think that they think the overall positive economic growth and will outweigh the interest rate rises.
So the cost of higher interest rates, as that weighs on corporations and people and businesses, that will be offset by the overall global...
Oh, yeah, because what we believe is this, what they believe is this, that for the last 5 years, from 2018, that we are not suffering from interest rate costs. We are suffering from the sentiment. We're the corporate and the consumer sentiment, investment sentiment. We have the concern Fed somewhat kind of think that lower interest rate is the magic wand, which has not been very effective in terms of the recovery, just in terms of speed of recovery. But finally, we get to the point that we probably at the end of the row of lowering interest rate to even further, so it's coming back. On the other hand, I think the business sentiment is coming back. And when a company is making investment decisions, capital expenditure decisions, they are looking at the cost, which interest rate cost you're talking about, versus whether they are sure, they are more certain, they are more positive about the economy in the future. So, and we think that going to come back much positively than the interest rate rising, because I'm way more than enough to offset the interest rate cost. So you do agree with me, I guess. We're still at the almost historical low interest rate level.
Right.
Okay, so we are actually more excited about the sentiment of business in terms of their investment. And then we will see the employment level will, finally get up, and hopefully soon. And barring, the only thing in the wild card is, we're going to get into another war and other disasters or other non-economic issues.
Well, or like healthcare.
Or healthcare. But yeah. You see, the healthcare thing is, again, it's not a surprise, though. We work on this for, 6 years now, and back and forth. And as I say, the healthcare issues, as well as the debt ceiling issues, and with the one we just went through, the government shutdown, these pretty much in general are random noise in terms of overall business cycles. And as a result, that for example, I'm looking at the students seem to very positive in terms of the small cap category, and they like small cap growth stock, of course. And considering the location we are, location means where we are in the business cycle,
right,
which is in the early recovery, and then and also in the stock market, we are a little worried about this, the 7 week running, okay. But again, this is a short term timing issue,
right?
Okay, and we do worry about maybe this is overbought area, but then one good thing is we're close to the end of the year, so
true.
People tend to start from fresh from year January. They are positive on the small cap growth style, and they like technology, they like healthcare, they like housing especially, They have a couple housing starts they got a year ago. You know, one of them is Zillow. You're familiar with Zillow.
Sure.
They went up to 150% year-to-date return. So
wow.
They like the housing stock, and as I say, and they like the some of the environmental stuff, because we have other agenda in terms of our investment objective. But they are interested in the growth area, of course, and that's somewhat consistent with what their economic outlook.
Well, I tell you what I'd like to ask you about is a little bit about the timing issue, but let's grab another quick break. If you're just joining us, Casey Ma, PhD, CFA. He is the chair of the Roland George Investment Program at Stetson University, talking about the student-directed program and what the decisions and researches that they are doing. So stay right there, and we'll come right back.
Are you gambling with too much money invested in the stock market? How can you tell? It's simple. The rule of 100. Take your age and subtract it from 100. The result is how much you might want to keep in the market. The rest should be off the table, invested in something safe. Every rule has an exception, but the rule of 100 is a good starting point to determine if your portfolio is out of balance. Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Welcome back. Dr. Casey Ma is our guest. He is the chair at Stetson for the Roland George Investment Program. And I wanted to ask you, Dr. Ma, about, you know, you talk about the market cycles and you talk about where we are in them. And I agree with you on a lot of what you're saying that the students are coming up with. I would like to ask, because related to how your program is administered or how it operates, you know, you kind of look at it on a calendar year basis. And since this is a college endowment, you don't have to worry about taxes, correct?
No, we don't
okay.
have to worry
that's
about
that. That's very convenient.
Yes, so, it is. It makes our life much easier.
Okay, so with that, is there, I say all that to say this, would there be a time where you would say, okay, look, we're close to the end of the year, we're going to go to cash?
Actually, look like the rest of the world is doing that now, I guess.
Okay.
What is this, the fifth day? And, of selling now, yesterday. And, November, you have a mutual fund window dressing anyway.
Sure.
And then December, you have average people year-end selling profit-taking. And, now, of course, nowadays, people start doing this a month early because everybody else is doing it in December, so everybody else is doing it in November, too. So that's what we already start seeing, that late November coming to December. We don't do that because
okay.
just because our performance measurement is year to year.
Right.
I mean, like January to December, and for all practical purpose. And another thing is this: the for average investor. By the way, I also run my private practice hedge fund. Your financial planner.
Yes.
I'm a institutional money manager too. That's the reason I'm here. But so we really cannot trade. In general, like the statement is, nobody has a skill to time these things. And,
I agree.
Managers or planner, advisors should advise there, especially on the individual level. I always think that's not the right thing to do is timing. Timing is almost, probably more than I do, timing is almost like a dirty word in our business. And because nobody has the skill of timing,
it's dangerous. It's
very dangerous. Just give you an example. Just a month ago, and when we have this debt ceiling changes,
mm-hmm.
and we have this government shutdown, so the market up and down. Just whether the two parties gonna have a resolution on the debt ceiling changes, things like that, or whether they're gonna have a deal to approve the budget. And the market can go up and down like this. And then I always advise my students, if you really want to trade, you will trade against the market. When market drop, you buy. And vice versa, because you know these things are going to go through. But you cannot trade with the market, which means when market is selling off, because people worry, then you sell off too.
Mm.
And that's the worst thing you can do. And
but people do it every day, Dr. Ma, don't they?
All the time.
Yeah.
I just cannot. And the people are just so nervous. I have many, many of the clients' friends who will come to talk to you. And the worst part, they're working on their retirement account.
Right.
I mean, and these are the 30-year-old, 40-year-old, they worry about their 65-year-old retirement account, and they want to trade in and out on a daily basis. I said, you cannot do that.
No, that's counterproductive.
Yes, and then they expect their manager to do that. I say that's wrong, because, and my best advice to people is, if you are 30 or 40 year old, okay, you, whenever your pension account sends you a statement, just put in the safety box. Don't even open it. Throw away in the garbage can. Okay? Yeah. To the point, because you're not going to change anything. You cannot take the money out, and it only make you worry.
Yeah, the best you can do is stay diversified.
Yeah, you're supposed to stay diversified right from the beginning.
Right.
So, but I would say, but if you have 5 years to go to retire, then you have
that's
to open
different.
The statement.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah, and I think sometimes people just, they get caught up in the emotion of it, and it's a very dangerous thing. As I manage money, Dr. Ma, we give our clients access to their accounts. They can view them online, but we do not give them trading authority.
Yes, but then you also get a daily phone call for the investors, nervous investors. Your clients will come to worry about, you know, on a daily basis, you know, what.
Well, I've got them pretty well trained. I don't get many phone. Don't get many phone calls. They understand that, you know. The thing that I think people don't get sometimes, Dr. Ma, and I think that something I say all the time, and I'm sure you say it as well, and that is, if you're going to have money in the market, in the equity market especially, and having it there makes you nervous, and you have to check your account every day, and you're just on pins and needles. You should not be there. Thank you. Thank you very much.
The timing issues, I say that to a lot of my students, and I will not mention names, but the timing issue is only, it's good for the, I like to say, I use the word that Warren Buffett used, you know, and he always say that, you know, he hates the word EBITDA.
Yeah.
He say that he thinks the managers, if they use the word, the company manager use the word EBITDA, they are crooks.
Yeah.
He said he will never invest in any company if they want to talk about EBITDA growth rate.
Yeah. Because we're talking about a massage number. So for our listeners that don't know what that is, earnings before income, interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization.
It's a very short-term earning. Yeah. It's very myopic look about earning, only look at the next quarter's earning. And then you know, Warren Buffett never sold his stock, right? Warren Buffett owned every stock forever. So the example I'm trying to say is, if someone comes to you, say, they're going to tell you assistant, teach you assistant to time the market, time the stock to get in a go. And they have this software there, and you see that all the time now. People come in and say, well, okay, pay $5,000, you can go through a training course. And once they use the word, to me, it's the same thing. When they use the word timing, you should avoid that.
Yep, it's time to run, not walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Dr. Ma, guess what? We've got to run. We appreciate you being on the program. Dr. Casey Ma has been our guest, Roland George Investment Program at Stetson University. He is the chair. Dr. Ma, we'll have to have you back another day. Thank you so much
for spending the time, Dave,
with us.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, thank you so much.
Enjoy.
All right, bye now.
Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.